The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Dov Lev.
Simin Kuf Tzadi Gimel Sif Tes Chola Shemes Lomes. Someone who's ill, whose family member dies. Ein modin lo, we do not inform him, shema titarif daitei alav, because maybe he would be distraught over it, and that would endanger his life. The poskim say that this is even true in a situation where it was the parents of the chola, and the cholo would have to say Kaddish over it, we still may not inform him because we don't want to endanger his health. Afilu no dalo, and even if he already was informed about it, ein omim lo lekroa, we don't tell him to tear kriya, shema tigdal daigoso, because maybe it would increase his distress. V'ein bochin, v'ein masbidin befanav. And they should not cry or eulogize in front of him. Bein al meso, bein al mes acher, whether it is over the deceased of his family or whether it is over someone else who passed away. Afo pisha eino krovo, even though it is not his family member. Pen yifchad, because maybe he will be frightened. Shegam hu yamus, that he will also die. So in general, we try to not talk about death in the presence of one who is seriously ill. Umashtikin es hamenachmin befanav, and those people who come to console him, we silence them in front of him, because we don't want him to be distressed and thereby endanger his life. So the Aruch HaShulchan points out that from here we can derive that it is forbidden in general to cause any type of distress to someone who's ill. On the contrary, it is our role to find a way to lift his spirits and to make him happy to whatever degree possible, because this is the best thing for the health of someone who's seriously ill. Halacha Yud, Ein Mevakrim Lo Lechole Miayim Mishum Kisufa. We do not go visit people who are suffering from gastrointestinal problems because of the embarrassment. Meaning, someone who's suffering from the type of problem that he might have not have control over his bowels, or he might have to relieve himself frequently, he would not appreciate visitors because his situation will be humiliating. Once again, this drives in the point that we have to be sensitive to the needs of the chole. So the kitzur continues, V'lo l'chole ha'ayin, V'lo l'chole ha'rosh. You also did not visit people who are suffering from eye ailments, or people who are suffering from headaches, v'chein kol chole ditokif le'alma, or any type of illness that is very intense, v'kosher le'dibura, and it is difficult for him to speak. Ein mevakrim oso b'fanav, we don't make a visit in front of him, elo nichnasin le'bayis hachitzon, but rather, what we do is we enter into the external room, v'sharolin v'darshin bo, and then we call out to him, im tzarech le'ezadavar, if there's something that he needs, v'shomin saro, and we listen to his pain, u'mevakshin alav rachamim, and then we daven for them. So it is possible to fulfill the mitzvah of bikur cholim without being directly in front of the person. First of all, the fact that he knows that you're there will be meaningful to him. Secondly, if there is something that he needs, you will be available to help him. And finally, perhaps most importantly, is that the best thing you could do for such a person is by hearing his pain, we can daven for him. In some situations, the best way to perform the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim is by calling them on the telephone. At the very least, this would give the chola the ability to not answer the phone if they're too tired to speak, and will allow them to maintain their sense of dignity if their state is one in which they would not appreciate being seen. Of course, if the chola would appreciate the person to come in person, then the telephone call will not take the place of it. Halacha Yud Aleph. Mi sheyesh lefanav shei mitzvos. Bikur cholim v'nichum avelim. Someone who has two mitzvos in front of them to do. One is to visit the sick, and the other one is to comfort the mourners. Im efshar lo l'kayem shneihem. If it's possible for him to fulfill both mitzvos, he has enough time to do both mitzvos. Bikur cholim kodem. He should first visit the sick, kidei levakesh rachamim alav, so that he can daven on behalf of the ill person, and this way it would alleviate his pain earlier. The im efshar lo lekayim shneim, if he can't accomplish both, nicham avelim kodem, he should first comfort the mourners, shehu gemilos chesed im hachayim v'im hamesim, because by consoling the mourners, it is chesed both with the living and with the deceased. The poskim bring down that if there are multiple cholim to visit, precedence should be given to a chola who does not have other people to come to take care of him or to spend time with him. Sometimes it happens that there's one chola who has many family members or many friends or is very popular, while other cholim have no one in the world, and certainly precedence should be given to the latter. However, there is a dispute among the poskim whether or not one should visit a chola who has a contagious disease. There are different opinions. Practically speaking, the custom is that we do not visit someone if it will endanger the life of the visitor. A kohen is allowed to visit a chole who is in the hospital, and he does not need to be concerned that there might be a corpse in the hospital at that time. But if it is possible for him to investigate first to determine that there's no dead bodies there, he should definitely do so. In general, if the chola himself is a kohen, he would be permitted to go to the hospital. If there is a concern for danger to his health, even though it is somewhat inevitable that while he's there, someone may die. Now, some other interesting halachas related to the chola. In the Shultas of Rav Achai, he brings down that when someone goes to do the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, he should not go by himself, but rather he should find other people to go along with him. The Netziv, in his commentary, wonders why this halacha is not brought down in the poskim. In the Gilyonei HaShas, Rav Yosef Engel brings down that the Shultas does not mean to say that it's forbidden for one to go by himself, but rather he should try to get other people to join in on the mitzvah, since we have a tradition that when someone comes to visit a chole, he removes a certain element of his suffering. If multiple people would go to visit him, even more of his suffering would be removed. Now, the Ramah in Siman Shin Ayin Vav brings down the halacha that when people come to visit a chole, he's not required to stand up for them, even if they are prominent, prestigious people. Even if it is a nasi, he is not required to stand up for them. Now there's a machlokis among the poskim, but what is the basis for this? The Lavush brings down that the reason is because it will take too much effort for the chola to stand up. However, in the Tshuva Shvus Yaakov, he says that there's no concept, there's no mitzvah at all for a chola to stand up, because in the state that he's in, it is not an expression of kavod to the person for whom he's standing. Halacha Yud Beis. Mivakrin chole goy mipnei darkei sholom. We do bikur cholam also with a non-Jew who is ill because of darkei sholom, because this is the ways of peace, meaning that if we would only care for the needs of the Jewish ill, it would undoubtedly cause resentment among non-Jews, and therefore we must take care of the needs of non-Jewish sick as well. Now the way this is brought down in the Gemara is that we are mevakrin the non-Jewish ill together with the Jewish cholim, which sort of implies that if we're going to, let's say, the hospital to visit Jews who are there, we should also visit non-Jews who are there, but not that we would do bikur cholim for goyim when we're not doing bikur cholim for Jews. However, the Bir HaGra on Shulchan Aruch points out, based on the Yerushalmi, that the term im is lav davka, it's not specific, which means that even when there are no Jews with which to perform the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, still we have an obligation to visit the non-Jewish Cholim. And this is certainly the indication of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, who merely says Mivakrin Chola Goy. He doesn't say if there are Jewish Cholim along with him, then we should visit them both. But he says just in general, if there are non-Jews who are ill, it is our responsibility to visit and take care of their needs. Halacha Yud Gimel. We will now discuss the mitzvah of vidui, of confession. Tanya b'sifri, it is taught over in Chazal. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Rabbi Nosson says, v'ashma ha-nefesh ha-hi v'is vadu. The pasuk says that the person who has sinned should say a confession. Ze bana av al kol ha-mesim. From here, we deduce regarding all people who are dying, Shiyitanu vidui, that they require a verbal confession. The Isa b'Mishnah, it is taught over in the Mishnah, Shekol ha-misvade, anyone who says vidui, yesh lo chelek la'olam haba, so he will have a portion in the world to come. Shechein matzino ba'achan, because this is what we find with Achan, who went against the commandment of Hashem not to take from the booty of the city of Yericho. Sha'amar lo Yehoshua, that Yehoshua said to him, Bini, my son, Simnor Kvod Hashem Elokei Yisrael, bring glory to the Almighty, V'sein lo Toda, and submit to him, V'aged na li ma'asisa, and please tell me what you have done. Al tichached mimeni, don't hold back from me. Vayan Achan es Yehoshua, and Achan responded to Yehoshua, Vayoma omna anochi chatasi, indeed I have sinned. Ukizos vikizos asisi, in such and such I have done. Uminayin shekipalo vidui, how do we know that his vidui provided atonement for him? Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, Vayoma Yehoshua, Yehoshua said to him, Mo achartonu yarkecha Hashem b'yom hazeh. Why have you caused us this trouble? Hashem should cause you this trouble also today. Which means, b'yom hazeh ata achor, today you're going to be in a state of trouble. V'ata achur la'olam haba. But in the next world, you will be innocent. This is the background of the mitzvah of vidui. L'chein, therefore, chola sheroim bo, shehu note lamus. If there's an ill person that they see that he is approaching death, misavivin imo bidvarim, va'omim lo. They bring it up in conversation with him, and they say, hisvadeh va'al tidag mizeh. You should say vidui, but don't be troubled by this. In other words, don't think that by saying vidui, it means you're about to die. Harbe hisvadu v'omdu mechol yom v'hema b'chayim. There are many people that said vidui, and then they got up from the illness and they're still alive. V'harbe shelo hisvadu v'meso, and the many people who did not say vidui and they died. U'bischar sh'ato misvade ato choy, and in the merit that you say vidui, you should live. V'kol ha-misvadeh yesh lo chelik l'olam haba. And anyone who says vidoy will have a portion in olam haba. V'im eino yochol l'hisvadoy b'fiv. If he is so ill that he cannot say vidoy with his mouth, yisvadeh b'libo, he should at least say vidoy in his heart. V'im yochol l'daber ach ma'at. If he could speak at least a little bit, omrim lo, they say to him, Emor, say the following. Just, this is the minimum amount for vidui. Tehe misasi kapara alkov avonosai. My death should be an atonement for all of my sins. Vigam yomru lo, and they should also say to him, Shivakesh mechila miko adam, that he should ask for forgiveness from anyone, shechoto kinegdo, whom he sinned to them, bein bimamon, bein bidvarim, whether he harmed them monetarily or verbally. V'kol elu hadvarim, ein omrim, lo bifnei amaretz, v'lo bifnei nashim, v'lo bifnei ktanim. All these things should not be said in front of simpletons, nor in front of women, nor in front of children. Shema yivko v'yishperu libo, because maybe they will cry, they'll be emotional. They're going to cry, v'yishperu libo, and that will break his heart. And we're very sensitive to the needs, to the emotional needs of the chola, because if the chola will be distressed, that can definitely expedite his death. Now, in the prisha, it brings down that even a chola that is not nata lamus, he's not approaching death, it's a good idea to tell him to say vidui. It seems that this is as a just in case, in the event that he suddenly dies. At least he will have said vidui beforehand. However, the Shach argues, and the Shach says, only if he is in a situation of sakana, of danger to his life. Because otherwise, he will think that he's in danger, and that itself will distress him and possibly endanger him. In the Gesher HaChayim, he brings down that it is ideal that people should be accustomed to saying vidui frequently. Every time that they're sick, even mildly sick, it is worthwhile for them to be in the habit of saying vidui, just in case death overcomes them suddenly. But at the same time, this would serve as a segula for them to be healed. Now, in Halacha Yud Dalid, the Kitzur tells us one text of a shortened vidui. The truth is, if we look in the Svarim, there are many, many different versions of vidui. But the themes that they contain are all similar. Now, it should be noted that some communities, there is a custom that vidui is said with a minyan, whenever possible. So let's see. Seder ha-vidui b'ktzara, the shortened form of vidui. Modeh ani lefanecha Hashem, I confess in front of you, Hashem. Elo Kai Velokei Abesai, my Lord and the Lord of my ancestors, Sherefuasi Biyadcha Umisasi Biyadecha, that it is in your hand to heal me, and it is in your hand to kill me. Yehi Ratzon Milofanecha, it should be the will in front of you, Shetirapeini Refuah Shalema, that you should heal me, a complete healing. V'im amus, but if I die, tehe misasi kapara al kol chatoim v'avonos u'peshoim, my death should serve as an atonement for all of my sins on every level. Shechatasi v'she'avisi v'she'pashati l'fanecha, on all of the averas which I did in front of you. V'sein chelki began Eden, zakeni l'olam haba, and you should give me a portion in Gan Eden, and I should merit the world to come. Hatzafun latzadikim, which is set aside for the righteous. V'im rotzu laharech bevido yom ha'kippurim, if the chola wants to elaborate with the vido of Yom Kippur, harishus biyado, he has the right to do so. Ukvar misudarim havidoyim b'sefer hayakar mavayabok, and the texts of vidoy are written out in the sefer mavayabok. U'b'sefer chachmas adam, Hatik Gamkein Seda Vidu Meharamban Zechwan Lavracha. And in the Sefer Chochmas Adam, which is written by the author of the Chai Adam, copies the Ramban's Vidui prayer. This again is one of many different texts which people sometimes say as a form of Vidui. Now, many Svarim bring down that if the Chola is able to, he should try to give tzedakah at this point, either to put it into the hands of a poor person, which might be difficult to arrange, or at the very least to put a sum of money into a tzedakah box. And this would be a great schooler for him. In fact, it's even brought down how much he's supposed to give of whatever currency it is. This is based on Kabbalistic writings, but the main thing is to try to give tzedakah. Now, the one important aspect to take out of this section in the Kitzur is, it is very important to try to get the chola to say vidui before he dies. But at the same time, every effort must be made to calm him, to put him at ease, so he should not be distressed by the association of vidui with death. One of the most fascinating minhagim relating to Bikur Cholim is brought down in the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer. He says that if, God forbid, a person has a child who is deathly ill, it could be that there is a gzera, that there is a decree in heaven on the parents of the child, since we assume that the child himself, as a minor, cannot be held responsible for any of his actions. Consequently, what the parents should do is that they should symbolically sell their children to someone else for a certain number of years, or until the day of the child's wedding. This way, in case there's a decree on the father that his child should be suffering and his child should die, at this point he will no longer be his own child. Now, why specifically do we say that the sale should be reverted on the wedding day of the child? He says because there's a mitzvah to marry off your child, and therefore we want the child to be in every way related to the father on his wedding day. What I found interesting is that he does not suggest that the child should be go back to the domain of the father in time for his bar mitzvah, so that he can make the bracha of the Baruch Shepterani. Whatever the case is, this is a very fascinating minhag, and of course should only be done in extreme circumstances, and under rabbinical guidance.